Good morning. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM and streaming at WGXC.org. I'm Victor Mandolia. Good morning.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we are wrapping up what was a bloodbath for the Democrats last night in general. A few bright spots around, but not many. Locally, Chris Gibson, the incumbent Republican congressman, has won re-election and beaten his opponent, Sean Eldridge, by a wide margin. Same goes for incumbent Kathy Marchione, who is the state senator, Republican state senator, representing the 43rd Senate district, senatorial district. But there is a tight race for assembly in the 106 D.D. Barrett's district, which covers southern Columbia County and northern Dutchess. So it looks like that will certainly be with the absentees, though Barrett has declared victory. And in general, the absentees go for the Democrats and would normally follow similar voting patterns, at least, and often favor the Democrats, since a lot of absentee ballot voters are second homeowners and they tend to be solid Democrats. But any thoughts on the local stuff?
Well, my town had some misreporting on the one race we had going on.
A couple of times, apparently.
Yeah, the Register Star reported that Betty Young's daughter, Carolyn Sammons, who in the past has served for great number of years as a town board member and who was defeated.
And we're talking about Taconic, the town of, yes. Town of Taconic.
Yes. She ran perhaps on her record. I never saw anyone look so unhappy sitting on the town board. Of course, I wasn't watching myself sitting on that same town board. But
because you resigned from the town board. So
yeah, I resigned. So this was to fill the empty space left by my resignation. I resigned in June.
Right.
I resigned because I was kind of driven out of town by kind of an unmerited ethics complaint that destroyed my reputation and made me feel kind of unappreciated.
So in this case, there was two misreportings. The first was that the Register Star ran an article, like a lead up to the election article, that said that Sammons was running unopposed.
And yeah. Now, how did they get that information? I think small newspapers in our area rely on questionnaires they send out to the candidates. And maybe, you know, it's possible that the candidate or one of her supporters wrote back that she was running unopposed. Maybe they thought she was.
I mean, you know, it's a major slip up, really, by, you know, which is supposed to be the paper of record in Columbia County.
Yeah.
It's the only daily paper. And this is an easy check, of course, because there are sample ballots posted online. They could have looked and see, you know, look down the line and see who's running. So
now, years this is a major ago, screw up. When I was reporting on Germantown, I gave Roy Brown, who was running for his first election as supervisor of that town, and he lied on his questionnaire and said that he was endorsed by two other party lines, mm-hmm. Other than the Republicans, and that's what the paper published. Mm. And later, when I asked him why he did that, he had no answer. Mm. I did confront him, but he just stonewalled. Mm. But anyway, Linda Schwartz is an independent person who's very civic minded. I saw her at virtually every town meeting I ever attended. Mm-hmm. She's always been there. She's served on the Zoning Commission and has served quite ably and represents our town for the Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. and used to work there. So she's very able, understands how state government works. Mm-hmm. And if she wins this election, it's still the absentee ballots haven't been counted. Right now, last night, she came up with 232 votes. Carolyn Sammons got 9 more than that. Mm-hmm. And that somehow the Times Union reported that Sammons, Betty Young's daughter, got 311 votes. How did they get that? I assume misreporting from the Sammons camp.
Right. this, and this sets up another very contentious absentee ballot count.
That's becoming
people,
a tradition in our town.
Right. As many people will remember, there was a very tight race for supervisor some time ago. I guess the last time that, was it the last time
yeah,
that Betty,
and
Betty
highway
Young ran?
Superintendent,
right.
Was it in 2011, I think?
Right. And it was, it went on for weeks and weeks.
A bulldog of an election lawyer, right. John Champione, who, or Champione.
Champinelli.
Yes, and he came up and probably cost the Republicans a lot of money, but the Democrats too, because they had to hire lawyers to combat this. And in the end,
of course, the Democrats had a bulldog of an attorney too, Kathleen
Feldman.
No, it'll come to me in a second.
Yeah, yeah, we did, and she's very able. She worked for the legislature, and really,
Kathleen O'Keefe.
Kathleen O'Keefe, right?
Who now is that? Is the enforcement attorney for the New York State Board of Elections. So, and
she
knows
also,
it inside and out for sure.
She also helped with my election because
she's been involved in many Columbia County recounts and that
yeah.
kind of thing.
What the Republicans do is, if it looks like their candidate's down, they put pressure on the Republican election commissioner, and then that commissioner does what they can to tie up the votes and challenge everyone.
Allegedly.
Yes. Yes.
So there's a lot of other things happen. One of the very interesting things that I was sort of like delving through some of the results last night, and it appears that Howie Hawkins did the second highest percentage here in Columbia County, only after Tompkins County, which is where Ithaca is. So Ithaca is a very progressive city, and
home to the university,
right?
Cornell.
But this is an interesting thing that's been happening, really, that's manifest since the Teachout Cuomo race, where Zephyr Teachout won 74% of the vote in Columbia County in the primary. Of course, not many people voted in the primary, but still, the percentage wise was the highest in the state. Now we have the second highest percentage in the state for the Green Party candidate for governor, Howie Hawkins. So, what do you think about that? It seems a progressive yearning for something else.
Yeah, a disappointment
quo,
with the Democratic status quo.
Right.
You know, Governor Cuomo has not covered himself with glory. The New York Times has a little sub-headline, no longer invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe he won, you know, hands
right.
down, but maybe his...
Much damage, his, though, on the way.
You know, maybe this will interfere with his presidential ambitions.
Right. There are a number of ramifications to the governor's win, which is a big loss for the Women's Equality Party, which was a trumped up party that the governor put together, had former New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn was the point person on this alleged party. That party did not gain enough votes to become a permanent party on the ballot line. And this was after the governor was encouraging people to vote for him on that line. Clearly, they didn't listen.
I thought that was such a lame and cynical maneuver.
The Working Families Party did receive the number of votes needed to be on the ballot. But it appears that it will be that the Green Party will be taking the D line because for those who may not be aware, the political parties are lined up on the ballot in the order in which the people voted in the governor's race each every 4 years. So the Green Party will be moving to the D line. The Conservative Party maintains the C line. of course, the Republican is the B line. Democrats are A, but the Working Families Party will be going down the line to the E line, and the Independence line falls even further to the F line. So the Independence Party at one point was the third largest party in the state, and clearly has been slipping over the course of very short time. I guess about 8 years has slid down the ballot, and perhaps may be harder and harder to find being viable.
That's another very cynical political gambit. I have heard from voters when I was campaigning that they signed up for the Independence Party thinking that meant they were an independent voter. But in fact, in our town, the Independence Party was run by our town clerk, who, you know, may not be a registered Republican, but she certainly is supported by the Republicans and supports them right back by mismanaging our town to their advantage. And I wonder what they are in other towns, you know. But it does seem so cynical to call it the Independence Party when they're actually a branch of another party.
Yeah, it was clearly designed to fool people so that people thought that they were independents by joining the Independence Party.
And women's equality. So you believe in women's equality, you still might not be aligned with a lot of people who vote on that party line.
Right. A couple of other races that are in the news in our area, Cecilia Kacik, who has been the state senator in all of Greene County and other more rural counties up further up north, I think Washington County, lost her race for state senate to George Amador. Amador was previously an assembly person. It was a rematch of the race 2 years ago where Amador was defeated by Kacik by 18 votes. This was another really awful race to watch, mainly on Amador's part. His commercials later in the campaign. There was one in particular where he said, you know, if my daughter ever came home and said that she was being paid less than a man because she was a woman, that would really burn me up. And we're going to change that. And the thing is that he'd voted 10 times against equal pay. So it was just such a smarmy, let's just call it what it was, a lie. I mean, it really was pretty awful to watch. And, to my mind, just watching him in the video saying it, you could just see that he didn't believe it. It was really cynical is the one that keeps coming up, but really an awful, awful thing to watch. And for many people who have watched Cece Kacik, certainly it was, she has been served as a very dedicated state senator and sort of, shame to watch her go down. Back to Cuomo, really, that Cuomo had promised the Working Families Party in order to get their endorsement that he would fight to change the New York State Senate over to the Democrats, and he clearly failed to do that. I mean, there was almost virtually no campaigning. He's sitting on a giant war chest. So he got millions of dollars in the last couple of weeks of the campaign, which is, you know, why people are contributing at the very last minute to a campaign is clearly that they're looking for political favors, and rather than spend that cash by working to turn the Senate Democratic, he is sitting on the cash. So
the other thing he did, which didn't sound right, and Zephyr Teachout sued him in state court, I think, is that he used funds provided by the Democratic Party to campaign against her in the Democratic primary,
which is illegal in New York State. I mean,
it doesn't seem right.
Political parties are not allowed to spend money in primaries. The candidates must spend their own money, or, you know, their own money that they've raised, or their own money. The political parties are not allowed to spend money in primaries because it would tip the balance too hard for the people who they are supporting. And of course, the primary is about the people's will, and So it's one of these things. I mean, of course,
looks like he's getting away with it though.
She did. Well, she sued it. She sued. You know, it came to light at the very last minute in the mm-hmm. campaign, and of course that these things take a while to work their way through the through the courts. But
so maybe we haven't heard the last of of that. Maybe it will be resolved somehow.
Right. Let's see, in the 18th congressional district, that was the district that Sean Patrick Maloney took from Nan Hayworth last time in two years ago, and it appears that he has won that race. It's a tight race, but seems to be a win there. That was a rematch again. Nan Hayworth lost that seat to Maloney and ran again, and it appears that he has won that. Maloney has had a huge support from unions, in particular 1199.
So he's a Democrat.
Yes. So and Nan Hayworth, many people call her a Tea Party Republican. I mean, whether she is or not, I think is up to people. You know, people could sort of decide that. She paraded out her in the campaign. Maloney is openly gay, and she had her son, who's gay, in a political commercial toward the end of the campaign. It's funny to watch now that, you know, there's sort of like this move in toward equality and having people no longer be able to use someone's homosexuality against them in a campaign. Now it's sort of the opposite. Now they're like, "Oh, I have a gay son." You know, it's like it's really interesting to watch. Let's see. I think what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back. This is At Issue. We're going to continue wrapping up the elections for you. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And this is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM.
dans sa chambre, Joël et sa valise, on regarde sur ses fringues, sur les murs des photos, sans regret, sans mélange. La porte est claquée, Joël est barré.
That was the amazing Grace Jones. That's called I've Seen That Face Before, Libertango. Grace Jones there. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM. And so we're wrapping up some of the races, the election from the election yesterday. The Greene County District Attorney's race has been won by Joseph Stanzione. He was elected the Greene County District Attorney, beating Paul Salvino. This was one where the Greene County Democrats had really hoped that they could win this race, even though Greene County is a solid red county in the state. There was great hope that the Greene County Democrats could squeak out a win with Paul Salvino, who is very well respected in Greene County, and unfortunately they came up short on that. One of the other very interesting races that that maybe isn't getting as much attention as some of the others is this race for the New York State Supreme Court. This area it includes Rensselaer County. It's the third judicial district. It's Albany, Rensselaer, Greene County, Columbia County, and a number of other smaller counties up north and west. It's Sullivan as well.
So Columbia didn't have a judge running for that position?
No. In general, Columbia County won hadn't had a Supreme Court justice from the county in, I think, 13 years. And last year, Richard Mott, who is a defense attorney based in Kinderhook and Albany, lives in Kinderhook but has an office in Albany, he won last year. And as well, there were two seats open last time, so it was Judge Schick from Sullivan County, and Judge Mott from Columbia County that won two seats, and that had been Sullivan and Columbia County had been a long time without a Supreme Court justice sitting in their own county.
A few years ago, I thought Jonathan Nichols, who is from Columbia County, was going to run. Did he not run? Oh, he didn't get endorsed. Okay.
There was the Republicans. You know, these races are decided not by primary. They're decided by judicial convention. You at the primary, delegates are elected to a convention. Often they run unopposed. They're often handpicked by party leaders. Although people can circulate petitions and run their own races for them. And in fact, that's what happened this year. Judge Margaret Walsh, Peggy Walsh, who is a family court judge, has sat for 10 years in Albany County Family Court. Was putting herself forward for. for Supreme Court justice.
And is she a Republican?
No, she's a Democrat.
She's a Democrat.
So she and the party leaders in Albany and Rensselaer, who control the largest number of delegates, were opposed to her. She had long been she had bucked the system a number of times. The when she ran for family court originally 10 years ago, she was told wait in line, and instead of waiting in line, she circulated petitions and she ran and she won. So she's kind of long been a thorn in the side. She's also openly gay. So whether some of these, you know, the issues with her are based on the fact that she's a woman or she's an uppity woman or she's gay or whatever, is, you know, are unclear. But
maybe not conformist enough.
Right, exactly. And again, it was happening again this time. She was interested. She had been interested. She's been interested in a Supreme Court seat for some time, and had danced around it a little bit the previous year. It didn't seem like it was coming together for her, particularly because Columbia County and Sullivan County, Greene County as well, don't have any sitting, or at the time didn't have any sitting Supreme Court judges. And it was thought that it was their turn to finally get one. So a year ago, Albany and Rensselaer acquiesced and said, "It's your turn. You've been without a Supreme Court justice for so long. Now it's going to be your turn." I think Greene and Schoharie are the other two counties which have no sitting Supreme Court justice from their county still, and really should be due one. But this year, the powers that be in Albany and in Rensselaer, and that's Matt Klein, who just lost his seat as the party leader in Albany, and Tom Wade, who narrowly kept his, backed Justin Corcoran. And Justin Corcoran had done a lot of election law work for the party. Was not a sitting judge. Clearly, Peggy Walsh had the experience. Walsh was a acting Supreme Court justice as well. So she had been doing the job of Supreme Court justice for some time. Corcoran did not have any experience, but he had done a lot of favors for the Democratic Party. And in the end, Walsh ran her own set of delegates in Albany and part of Rensselaer. But in the end, did not have enough delegates to overcome the strong Albany and Rensselaer machine, basically. But it was a narrow vote.
What line was she running on?
Well, this was the Democratic Judicial Convention, so it was for the Democratic line. So an interesting thing that happened was that the Republicans chose a woman who looked just like Peggy Walsh, and for the race. So, and when Walsh lost the convention, Lisa Fisher became the Republican choice, and they immediately seized upon the fact that the Supreme Court, in the third judicial district, have no women sitting on the bench. There's also no blacks. There's no gays. There's no, you know, it is an all white male club. And however, this is a predominantly Democratic district. If you look at last year's wins, the Democrats, both relatively unknown, Judge Mott, I mean, although he's known in legal circles, was not a sitting judge or anything, and Schick was also from a very low populated county, both won handily and beat their Republican opponents, even including a sitting Supreme Court judge. So this district is a very, very heavily, predominantly Democratic district. So for a Democrat to lose this district is really pretty stunning. And it seems as if people heard, and Lisa Fisher's argument that this is an all-white male club, and you know, diversity matters, and this was the thing that Walsh was, you know, that was the argument that Walsh and her delegates for for full disclosure, I was one of the delegates for Walsh. We were making that case that you know, it is time to diversify the court, and the court should reflect the population.
Yeah.
Clearly, this must have resonated with the voters, because for this woman, who also didn't have any judicial experience, but she is a public defender in Ulster County, it's a big deal for her to have won this race. We're going to see
for better or for worse, she will bring diversity, and maybe this was a strategic mistake on the part of the Democrats.
I mean, many people said it at the time that it would be, and in fact it was. What happens next will be interesting. I mean, next year, from what I understand, there are going to be 2 seats available, and watching where the Democrats go next time will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they now embrace Peggy Walsh or Punisher. It's one or the other. It will be one or the other for sure. Let's see what else we had there.
You know, when you talk about maybe someone doesn't get a judicial nomination because they've made waves in the past, I wonder if that happened in regard to Jonathan Nichols, because he was the presiding judge on the ballot conflict when 2 Democrat town board members got elected because of the, you know, absentee ballots, and the first Democrat highway superintendent in decades.
Well, the district is so large that it often those kinds of local things tend to not really play into it that much, because really the district is dominated by Rensselaer and Albany County, and so it's unless there's some sort of deal brokered in order to give a smaller county the nomination, Albany and Rensselaer pretty much decide how it's going to go.
Oh, so that must have been a fascinating experience being a delegate.
Yeah.
That must have given you insights into the process.
Yeah, and it ain't pretty. It's pretty awful. I mean, it is really the one place where the old school backroom deals, you know, the smoke-filled room, as they used to call it, that's where most of this stuff gets decided. I mean, it's 8 counties, and the county chairs have great influence into what happens, particularly the 2 county chairs from Rensselaer and Albany County. Matt Klein has lost his seat as the Albany County chair, but it is now Carolyn McLaughlin, who's the speaker of the Albany Common Council. Progressives don't necessarily consider her a progressive, and although she's a woman of color, she tends to side with the old Albany guard. So that's where the concept of whether Walsh will be rewarded or punished will be interesting to see play out, because there was very little support for Walsh in the establishment, the Democratic
political establishment. So is she still a family court judge, or is she now without a judicial
job? She is, because her seat was, she was up for re-election this year as well, and she was running unopposed. So, and there is a mechanism, if she were to have received the Supreme Court endorsement, there is a mechanism in election law for the appointment of somebody to run for her seat. So, but her luck in that she was running unopposed for the same seat, so she was elected yesterday as well for family court, and now has another 10-year term. So,
well, good.
So she's got a place, and she's an amazing woman. I just think that I think the world of Peggy Walsh, and I do hope to see her move forward. In the city of Hudson, we had only the state races and the federal races, but all of the Democrats won in Hudson, which is not necessarily unexpected. But Sean Eldridge won the city of Hudson, as did Brian Howard and Dee Dee Barrett. Dee Dee won by the widest margin in the city of Hudson, and as the chairman of the Hudson Democrats, I was happy to see that, but unfortunate to see everybody.
Well, what are your insights into the Eldridge loss? Is Gibson just so popular?
Yeah, I think, you know, Gibson has long portrayed himself as a moderate, although, you know, his voting record doesn't necessarily bear that out.
Did you look at the website that the Eldridge Camp put up called Real Chris Gibson?
Right.
And,
did
that seem right to you?
Well, I think, yeah, I do think that. I think, anyone can pick and choose particular votes and characterize them in a particular way, and I think that, you know, that's the game, the way that things go.
I certainly wish an independent news organization would do that kind of scrutiny for our elected officials, so that voters could have a more reliable source of information to make their decisions on, because I thought the Real Chris Gibson was an eye-opening website, and I'm glad the Eldridge people did that, but I wish someone independent had done it.
Yeah. Eldridge had many hurdles. I mean, there's no question. He obviously is a young man. He's only 20. Now I guess he's 27. I think people, when I was growing up, Long Island had a great congressman, Tom Downey, who was 26 years old. He was the youngest guy elected to Congress at the time. He later was replaced by Rick Lazio, who a lot of people know from the Hillary Clinton campaign. But I don't necessarily think that youth should be an impediment to serving. On the other hand, as well, he only recently moved into the district in order to run in this district. They had he and his husband had bought a very large home, and then bought another large home in order to run in this district.
Hillary Clinton did the same thing, but
Bobby Kennedy. There's a long history of people running. They ran for the Senate, of course, which is and they had a certain level of recognition before they moved here. But New York is generally kind to people who have credibility and are looking for to serve.
Well, it's hard for us to get good candidates.
Right. Now, the thing is that we'll see what happens. I mean, a lot of times people run once and then they run again and then they win the second time or the third time. So we don't know what Sean's intentions are yet. But, as time goes on, I think if he, a lot of the people who know about his work with Hudson River Ventures that have been watching with the economic development work that he's been doing, helping small businesses grow. And I think a lot of people appreciate that kind of work. And I think if he were to continue that work and helping build small businesses in the communities in the district, I think certainly he would have greater name recognition and could have greater success at pointing to some of his successes that he's been working on.
It reminds me of Joseph Kennedy, who in Massachusetts, maybe in the 80s, started a fuel co-op. Mm-hmm. That was much appreciated by voters in Massachusetts, and he did run for Congress and get elected after that. And, this strikes me as an analogous kind of public service that could lead to election down the road.
So I think we'll take another quick break and we'll come back. This is At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And we are on WGXE, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, broadcasting from the Hudson studio. We'll be right back on At Issue.
I walked
And we're back on WGXC 90.7 FM. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org streaming. I'm Victor Mendolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert.
And when we left, we were talking about carpetbagging or the characterization of carpetbagging. But Scott Brown lost his carpetbagging seat in New Hampshire to Jeanne Shaheen, the sitting Democratic senator. It was one of the few bright notes for Democrats last night, winning and keeping New Hampshire. And so that was the one
bright spot.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell was reelected by a wide margin in Kentucky and will assumably become the majority leader in the Senate. We were just talking on the break a little bit about John Stewart's show last night, his live show with Election Show. He was pretty hysterical doing Yertle the Turtle invitations for Mitch McConnell.
He's been doing that all election season.
Right.
He's getting better and better.
So let me see. Of course, Rick Scott won his race in Florida for Florida governor. I don't really get that, but of course, Charlie Crist was a former Republican, became an independent, then became a Democrat. So maybe that doesn't sit well.
Maybe
with
voters
were
confused.
I mean, Florida's a weird place anyway. What else do you have?
Representative Tom Cotton defeated Senator Mark Pryor in Arkansas. Tom Cotton's a Republican, so he'll be a new senator.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM.
Today is the last day that I'm using words. They've gone out, lost their meaning, don't function anymore.
So we're going to call that the show. I have an emergency that I need to run out for. You listened to the last song that we played was "Nothing Can Stop Us" by Saint Etienne. This is "Bedtime Story" by Madonna. I'm Victor Mendolia.
I'm Deborah Gilbert,
and we will be back in 2 weeks on At Issue here on WGXE 90.7 FM. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Let's get unconscious, honey.
How can I explain how I feel? Explain again.